Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you here until midnight right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stay with us and even join in the conversation if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. The switchboard's open. You can call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And let's go ahead and get started with a word of prayer here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray that you bless the program. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody. Help us to point people to Christ. If there's somebody that's searching for knowledge of the truth, we just pray that the things we talk about tonight would be helpful and that the Holy Spirit could use us to point them to Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's certainly good to be with you tonight, and I'll tell you, it's a little bit warmer out than I expected it to be, except when the wind blows. That wind is cold out there tonight if you're out and about. It's a little bit chilly with the wind chill, and I guess we've got colder weather coming, but this is the coldest time of the year here late last half of January, first half of February, usually the coldest time here in northeastern Ohio. And just stay bundled up. We're that much closer to springtime, and looking forward to that. And as we come out of the program tonight, just wanted to talk about a couple things here this evening. But of course, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, because that's one of the things that we do this program for. I talk about various subjects, various topics, and from time to time we have guests here on the Sunday night program and also on our Friday afternoon program. We do this for a half an hour every Friday from 1:30 until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. If you have not been able to catch that program before, we invite you to certainly tune in that and even give us a call. But we try to have guests on the program with us. And I'm hoping if everything works out correctly this coming Friday, we should have Carl Gallups. He's a Baptist pastor in Florida, to be on the air with us this coming Friday, 1:30 to 2 o'clock, talking about a rabbi who is very influential in Israel, who had passed away about 8 years ago, and he had left a note not to be opened until a year later, talking about he had identified who the Messiah was. And a year after his death, they opened the note, and he had a cryptic thing in there that formed an acrostic of the letters. In Hebrew, the first letters of the words in the note basically gave us, it was Yehoshua or Yeshua, but anyway, it worked out to Jesus. Enough so that they pulled the note off from the websites and claimed that it was a forgery. So we're going to talk about that and why that's important. And Brother Gallups has written a book on the subject. I believe it's called The Rabbi Who Found Messiah. And we're going to try and talk about that, Lord willing, coming Friday at 1:30 till 2 in the afternoon. So if you're interested in that, you might want to note that time. But right now, this is your time. Give us a call if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We want you to give a call. 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air. One of the reasons that we like to do this is a lot of times people are discouraged from asking questions. And, you know, as speaking as an independent fundamental Bible believing Baptist, I sometimes think that I'm kind of like backward cousin or something sometimes, because people don't think you should let people ask questions. You're just supposed to tell them. And sometimes people in my profession as pastors, we just want to say, well, because the Bible says it, just believe it. And there is an element of truth to that. But I think of various passages in the Bible when Paul, the Apostle Paul, was trying to stand up for his faith and stand up for the gospel. He was speaking to Felix in Acts chapter 26. The Bible says that in verse 24, after certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." And what we see here is that Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. He didn't treat him like it was a used car lot, or he said, "Well, what about this? Now, what about this? Now, what about this? And then this." He reasoned with him. And I believe it's reasonable to believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and in doing so, we can understand it. We can make a reasonable case for what we believe. I believe we have a couple callers calling in. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. We've got Nancy, I think, is our first caller. So, Nancy, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Well, thank you, Pastor Al. Hi. I always appreciate and enjoy your show, and I'm inspired by it. And I just wanted to share with you at our church, Bible Baptist Temple tonight, Pastor Ray Carpenter spoke.
Oh, yes.
Bill, very, very inspiring. And he talked a lot about how we need revival in our
church. Yes, we do.
We all know we do. And he made the statement that our country has not had a true revival since, I think he said, 1904, 1908. And I just wanted to know, how would you define a true revival?
You know, that's a really good question, because a lot of times people's definition of a revival is our church scheduled a revival meeting, and we set it up for the third Sunday in, let's say, May, and it's going to go through the end of the week, and God's going to revive us whether he wants to or not, you know, because we scheduled
yeah.
it.
Uh-huh.
No, that's not a true revival. That's having a series of preaching meetings, and it might be good and inspiring, but it's not a true revival. A lot of times people think, well, a true revival is when you see all kinds of people getting saved. I don't think that's a true revival either. I think that is the result of a true revival. I think the true revival is when God's people, I'm talking about believers, church members, come together and they humble themselves before the Lord and they confess their sins and their shortcomings and they get their hearts right with God and they beg God to help them and empower them and to strengthen them and to help them to be all that they can be for the Lord. And when that happens, that's when I think revival comes, when God's people do this. It's kind of like in 2 Chronicles.
Chronicles 7:14.
Yeah, in chapter 7. I keep going past the page here, just a moment here. And there I did it again. I'm in chapter 8. In chapter 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and now this is addressed to the Jewish people, of course, and this was at the dedication of the temple, and God speaks to Solomon, and actually I'm going to start reading in verse 13 where he says, "If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people." And the Jewish people had entered into a covenant agreement with the Lord, and the covenant agreement, you can find this in Deuteronomy and elsewhere in the first five books of the Bible. Deuteronomy is a great place, and Leviticus and Exodus, Numbers, things like that. But they had entered into a covenant agreement that basically said, and they agreed, that if they obeyed God and kept his commandments, God would bless them, prosper them, and all of these things, and protect them. But if they disobeyed God, then he would shut up the heavens that it didn't rain, and he would allow pestilence to come upon them, and he would also let them fall before their enemies. And they agreed to that. Their forefathers agreed to that. And in this passage here, it says that if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, if I command locusts to devour the land, if I send pestilence among my people, that should make the Jewish people recognized that they had grown cold toward God. They weren't doing what he wanted them to do, and then change, and then says here in verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And this is a principle that we can appropriate. Now, this is to the Jewish people, of course, in their covenant relationship. But if God's people today, the Christians today, are disobedient, if they're not doing what God asks them to do, if they're not honoring the Lord in their dealings and being a witness for him, then God is going to allow chastisement, and that's supposed to get our attention. And then we turn and we humble ourselves and we pray and we seek God's face. This is revival. And then when our hearts are right with God and we're now doing what we ought to do, then comes the people getting saved, the unsaved people coming in and getting saved. See, salvation is the result of revival. And you can't expect God to fill the church with new converts if the people in the church aren't willing to serve him in the first place. So, you know, it's I think that's the first step of revival.
And also, isn't this a key idea for the righteous remnant in this country, since we're under the dictates of a very evil, unbiblical government? If the righteous remnant of people truly come together and truly humble themselves and truly pray and turn from their wicked ways,
right,
from heaven. And so, you know, if we could really do this, I keep praying, it's such a powerful verse, you know, for the evil in this country. I just...
Absolutely. And we need to pray for our country. I mean, we definitely need to pray for our country. And God seeking for somebody to stand in the gap, and like he did in the Old Testament. And, you know, I really believe that it's up to Christians. And when Christians stop doing that, we can't expect God's blessing on this country.
Right.
So, but yeah, revival is an important thing. It starts in the churches with God's people. And the effects of it can be felt in the community outside of the church doors. But it starts with God's people in God's house, in the churches across this country. So,
thank you very much for defining true revival. Excellent.
Hey, appreciate the call tonight.
God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the call. And you're, of course, listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. And we have our next caller there, Fran, I think it is. Is that, I believe, is next. Fran, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Yes, I was asking about, mentioned about the Pope. This Pope is going to be the last one that's going to lead the ecumenical movement, and he's the opposite of the previous Pope. Of course, they're all wrong. I come of a Catholic background, but they're, in fact, I said he'd be a nun even years ago, but they're really bad too. But this guy is the worst. He said he doesn't, you know, he thinks the homosexuals have rights, and you know, that they're going to go to heaven. And he says that you know, other groups like abortion people, that's all right to go and get an abortion, and you know,
right.
I mean, he's working against, you know, and I believe he's going to be the one that's going to be the final Pope.
And that's very interesting because, yeah, there's been a lot of talk about that, especially when he was elected as a pope, because there's various things that have said that there's one more pope, and then this, from a variety of things. I think there was St. Malachi or something like that, and different things. But the idea that this man, and I agree with you about the pope, I don't think he's the representative of Christ on earth. If he was, he'd be representing God's word, and he doesn't. This man has said, and we've actually talked about it on this program, this man has said that that an atheist will go to heaven so long as he's a good person.
Right.
And that's not biblical. Jesus said, you know, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. That's what Jesus said. You know, the Bible says there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Bible says you must be born again. So an atheist can be as good as he wants, but how can he be good when he denies the very source of goodness which right. is God. And like you said, he's soft on the abortion issue. He has said that homosexuality really isn't a sin. And all this is contrary to the scriptures. And he is, he's being used. Now, the question then comes, a lot of people, and in history, a lot of people, especially in the Protestant churches, I'm approaching a lot of this from the Baptist perspective.
Right.
Baptists are not Protestant. They're not a product of the Catholic Church. They were around before the Roman Catholic Church. They were around before the Protestant churches. Protestant churches protested against the false teachings of the Catholic Church and came out of the Catholic Church, hence the term Protestant, the Protestant
right.
movement. And many of the Protestant leaders said that they believed that the Pope would be the Antichrist. But as you study the Bible, we realize there is the Antichrist, that's true, but there's also the false prophet. And the false prophet appears to head up a one-world religious system. And personally, if I had to pick the Pope to be one of those two positions, I'd go for the false prophet.
I agree with you on that.
What's that?
I agree with you on that.
And you see that in Revelation chapter 13, where it's the false prophet that makes the image of the beast or the Antichrist, and then people are commanded to bow down before it and receive, you know, the mark of the beast, or else they're executed. And so we see there's two in there, and certainly with the Roman Catholic Church being one of the largest religious institutions in the world, and certainly most of the world, when they see Roman Catholicism, they think they're seeing Christianity. They're seeing a form of it, but it denies the power thereof. They don't think that what Jesus accomplished on the cross was sufficient. It has to be added to by your good works and by your own sacrifices. They don't believe that what Jesus accomplished on the cross was once and for all. He has to be sacrificed in a bloodless sacrifice every time the Mass is done. And on and on and on. They elevated Mary to a co-redemptress position with Christ, even though Jesus is the only mediator between God and men. And on and on and on, we could go on with that. But the fact of the matter is, somebody is going to try to allow people to think that the Antichrist is God. And when he comes and he sets up his position in the temple, in the midpoint of the tribulation, he declares himself to be God, and the false prophet is going to support his claim and lead people in the worship of him as God. Antichrist doesn't mean necessarily against Christ. It can mean another Christ, and that's largely what we see with the Antichrist. He's in place of the true Christ. And so, I think that the false prophet is going to lead many people under the guise of Judaism and Christianity into worship of the Antichrist as God.
Right.
So,
now, my other question was about these, beside the blood moons, we talked about that before, but I meant like the meteors and the asteroids are coming down.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the signs in the sky. The Lord's in the last days would be coming, you know, like to the earth. I mean, they're finding pieces of asteroids coming down and landing, you know, from space.
Right. There's a number of meteors that they're tracking, or asteroids, I should say, and they are concerned as some that might be coming fairly close in the next few years. I wanted to touch on something real quick. You mentioned the thing about the blood moons. That's a subject that actually we may touch on this Friday's program if you get a chance to listen. That's kind of an involved one to get into right here at the moment. And we may talk about that at length in a future program. I've been doing some looking into that.
That's scientists.
Yes, and for people that don't know what we're talking about, the blood moon refers to a total lunar eclipse, and there's a series of times in history since the time of Christ where we've had a series of four total lunar eclipses that coincide exactly with in 1 year, such as this year will occur on Passover. A total lunar eclipse, and then the next one will occur, that's in April. The next one will occur, I believe, in October on the Feast of Sukkot. No more total lunar eclipse until 2015, again on Passover, and then no more again until October of 2015 on Sukkot again. And they call that the Blood Moon Tetrad, four total lunar eclipses on two prominent Jewish holy days. And it's very interesting looking at some. When I first started looking into it, I thought, I don't know, a coincidence. But there does seem to be a little bit of something there. We're going to talk about that in the future. So we'll have to hold on that one. Just kind of a teaser right now on that, hopefully. But
thank you so much.
Hey, thank you for calling. I appreciate that. And I appreciate you calling Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got another caller coming in. And welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Yeah,
hi, good evening.
Hello.
Hi, good to have you on tonight.
Okay. Am I talking to you now?
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
Okay. Yeah, I was, because I was talking to the screener. We got back and forth.
Probably had a little trouble with the phone there, too, this evening,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah. So. Anyway, I was talking to my friend, and we were talking about the Lady of Fatima.
Right.
How she appeared. Mm-hmm. How she appeared to the three girls, and there was supposed to be a letter, and...
Right. There's a number of things associated with that. Correct.
Was that supposed to be the Blessed Virgin?
Well, that's what the there's some claim about that. The Lady at Fatima was the location in Portugal, I believe. And Mary, when she died, she went into heaven. Mary is not coming back, you know, to appear to anybody pious or otherwise anywhere, because Mary's in heaven. And as one of the believers that's in heaven, she doesn't have that option. What I believe that Our Lady at Fatima was is a familiar spirit that was masquerading as the Virgin Mary, because, you know, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 that for believers, absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. And then, of course, the Bible also tells us that for unbelievers, that they're in hell. Now, somebody who's in hell would like to come back if they could, but they can't. Somebody who's in heaven, why would they want to leave heaven? And besides, you know, it's not up to them. There's only one case where God allowed somebody in Scripture to make a guest appearance, so-called, when after they had died, and that was Samuel. He allowed him to come up from the dead to appear to Saul and basically to tell Saul, guess what, you're going to be with us tomorrow. But Our Lady at Fatima, you got to remember, the devil knows the Bible better than we do. The devil knows the Bible extremely well. Plus, he's been around for quite some time, and he has the ability to mimic people, and so do the fallen angels that are with him. For instance, somebody will say, well, I went to some place and they had us all hold hands in the dark, and they called, and Uncle Fred appeared. And I know it was Uncle Fred because he told something that only myself and Uncle Fred knows. Nobody else knows that but myself and Uncle Fred. How could they fake that? Well, let me clue you in. We have a spiritual world around us. Our fight is with spiritual entities, spiritual wickedness in high places, powers and principalities, the Bible says. And one of these fallen angels, which referred to as unclean spirits, devils, familiar spirits in the Bible, that's familiar with Uncle Fred and you, would have seen that and known that and provided that information to the medium, the psychic, or whatever it is that is telling you that Uncle Fred's given him that information. And it's portraying itself as Uncle Fred in order to fool us. And the reason for that is partly that they don't want us to believe the Bible when the Bible talks about when we die, we either go to heaven or hell, depending on our relationship with Christ. And like I said, if we go to heaven... I know if I die and I go to heaven, nobody's calling me back because, for one thing, why would I want to come back, you know, and appear to somebody? But and if somebody's in hell, they can't. They simply can't come back.
What about the contents of that letter? Did you, you know, the Vatican was supposed to reveal the contents of that letter?
I've not seen all of that, enough on that to really comment on that. I know there's been different things that have been revealed. Some of them are supposed to be revealed later on. And again, I go back to the fact that, you know, the devil has been planning things for years. Let me go to a related, but it seems unrelated, but it's a related topic, and that's the whole UFO thing. For decades, we have been primed to believe in the existence of extraterrestrial beings that may come to this earth and may solve all our problems and possibly whisk away that group that's hindering us from making our next step of evolution to evolve to a peaceful race. And there's all kinds of things going on. You know, people talk about the Greys and the Nordics and all these the reptilians and all. And all of that is stuff the devil puts this stuff. He seeds information out there and then he propagates it because he's a master deceiver. And he can lay the groundwork for things over centuries better than any group of conspirators can because he's there and he's able to carry it out and to keep these things alive. And so the devil can make good guesses about the future, but he doesn't make the future exactly. I can make some guesses about the future. I'm guessing that something significant is going to happen in Israel here in the next 2 or 3 months. Now, that's just a guess based on watching what's happening, current events in the Middle East. And after something happens and I can say, see, I said on the radio that something significant was going to happen in Israel before it happened. Well, that's not being psychic. That's just being tuned into current events and making educated guesses. Well, the devil can do that. Plus, he can also help set these things up and try and carry them out. But I see we're coming up on the bottom of the hour break here. But yeah, we need to be cautious about things. We have the Word of God, and if it conflicts with the Bible, we got to stick with the Bible. Hey, thanks for the call. We're out of time here this half hour. Thanks,
Pastor. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. We'll be on until midnight. Like I said, you can get in on the conversation if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Give us a call, 888-677-9673. We're brought to you, of course, by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor. Certainly invite you to visit us there, and more information about that will be given at the end of the program. But also brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, the home of the homemade pizza. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights has calzones, stromboli sandwiches, wraps, Lebanese food, and a whole lot more in addition to some of the best pizza around. You can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. East Coast Pizza is located at 4889 Turney Road, right across from the Garfield Heights High School. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for $5. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, right across from the Garfield Heights High School, 216-341-9100. If you're interested in getting into your own pizza business, give them a call. Ask to speak with Gus at East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100, and see how he can help you get started in your own pizza business for a whole lot less than what you might think. All right, we're going to get back to our program. If you've got a question about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word, give us a call, 888-677-9673. We have Grandma Marge calling in. And welcome, Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Yes.
Hi, good to see you, hear from you tonight.
Well, it's good to talk with you again. You know, we need to encourage our people to get to Proverbs 18 and 19.
Uh-huh.
Verses 3 and 18. When
all
the
right.
wicked cometh, then cometh also contempt, and with ignominy or perverseness, reproach. Well, we're suffering a lot of reproach because we have a lot of wickedness happening in every department in our country, and we have to clean that up.
Absolutely.
And we must encourage the people to wake up and smell the roses. Don't smell the garbage.
Well, and like Proverbs, you say in Proverbs 29, verse 2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn.
That's and for sure that, they do.
Yeah, and we need to pray for our country. You know, I'd like to be more optimistic. I really would that we're going to see tremendous revival come to this country. But I do kind of think that we're on the downward slide. You study prophecy in the Bible. The United States is not a major player in biblical prophecy for the end times. And you have to, something has to happen to take the world's, you know, the most powerful nation the world has ever seen economically, militarily, in many ways, the most powerful nation the world has ever seen, and reduce it to a bit player on the world scene. I mean, I don't like to have to think about that, but looking at the Bible prophecies, I don't see any other way around it.
Right. Well, we have to start demanding truth. We don't need perverse lips speaking any falsehoods, and it seems like the news is just full of that. It seems to be coming out of every legal office and out of our Washington, D.C., and out of every state office.
There's absolutely. You know, there's one thing I learned when I was in the Air Force. I learned about how during the Cold War, back in the Cold War between the United States and the Soviet Union, that the KGB, the Soviet Union's sort of combination, CIA, FBI, I guess you could say. During the Cold War, one of their top expenses, other than stealing our technology, was influencing our media. And I was in a position to see a lot of news events before the media got a hold of it. And let me tell you from experience in the 80s, and I've seen nothing since the 1980s to change my mind. The old Soviet Union got its money's worth in terms of influencing our media. And
sure.
There's a lot of details to that, and but it's you need to go online and you need to research things and you need to look at alternatives to the main news sources: ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, AP, and all Reuters and all those things. You need to get into doing a little research online and compare news stories. Sometimes the only way you can find out the truth is to compare things. And people who are only looking at one or two sources or looking at these mainline sources, they're not getting the news.
No, they're not. And we have to look for people where there's some kindness displayed, because if we don't have kindness out there in the front lines, then beware, we're liable to have more liars.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and that relates to the Bible talking about speaking the truth with love. You know, I mean, we don't want to become like our enemies in the process of trying to oppose our enemies. We need to go in Christ's love. We need to be harmless as doves, the Bible says, wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. And it's important. God's people need to get involved. I mean, you know, could we see some revival in our country before the Lord comes? Absolutely. You know, more and more, it doesn't seem too likely, but I still remain hopeful. That's for sure.
Well, we're encouraging revival at every one of the meetings I've been to, and mm-hmm. I'm going to one Tuesday night, a big Republican meeting, and we're going to talk about revival there.
Yeah, and I think you need to keep doing that. Hey, if God's people aren't willing to call for revival and try to do it themselves, you know, we can't expect God to just send it if we don't want it and we're not working towards it. And nope. Certainly the unsaved world isn't going to call for revival. So
no, but, you know, we have so many enthusiastic people out mm-hmm. there. And I say, women, step forth. Don't let the guys have all the say. So there's a lot of intelligent women out there.
There sure are. Yeah.
And Molly That's... Smith is one of our advocates.
Oh, there you go. Hey,
very good. Have a great night, everybody, and let's pray for righteousness to take over and knock the wickedness out into the sewer.
We need to be salt and light in the midst of the dark and dying world, that's for sure. Grandma Marge, thank you for your call tonight. Appreciate it. God bless you.
God bless you and your darling wife. Thank you, dear.
Thank you.
Have a great night.
Thank you. You too. Thank you very much. Of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. And we got line three, I believe it is, Andrew from Cleveland. Andrew, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Yes.
Hi, good evening.
When did God ever allow a prophet, a deceased prophet, to speak with a living person?
That's where we have the unique case of Samuel. And let me see if I can find it here. Now give me just a moment here to try and look this up.
Are you talking about the 28th chapter
of what?
Samuel?
Let me see if we can find her here. You're saying in 2 Samuel 28?
1 Samuel.
1 Samuel. This would be, let's take a look here and see where we're at. Okay. Give me just a moment. I got to flip through the pages here. Get back over there. 1 Samuel chapter 28. And let's see, there we are. Yeah, this is when the Philistines were coming against Saul. Saul had banished the soothsayers and the witches and things out of the kingdom, and God had not been speaking to him. Samuel had died, and the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 28, he had sent his servants out to find a woman with a familiar spirit. And that's where we find that Saul sent out his servants to find a woman with a familiar spirit. Saul goes to her and asks her to bring up Samuel from the dead. And the Bible says in verse 11, and said, "The woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee?" And he said, "Bring me up Samuel." And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, "Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul." And the king said unto her, Be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw God's ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, What form is he of? And she said, An old man cometh up. He is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And okay. Saul, and so we see him presented as Samuel very clearly in the scripture.
Says Saul perceived it was Samuel.
Well, it says, and Samuel said to Saul in verse 15. And in verse 16, it says, Then Samuel said, Wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee and has become thine enemy? And, you know, the Bible presents it as Samuel speaking to him. Samuel also gives him the, you know, the information that him and his sons were going to join him. In fact, in verse 19, he says, Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. So this individual is saying to Saul, You're going to be with me. And tomorrow.
But he didn't say he was going to be with God.
He said, Be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel in the hand of the Philistines. And remember, this is prior to the cross. This is in the Old Testament. And remember, at that time, we had the dwelling place of the dead in the center of the earth that was divided into the place of torment and the place of Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom was emptied out when Jesus died on the cross. He told the thief on the cross next to him that turned to him and asked for mercy. He said, Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And he died. That other thief died as well. Jesus descended into the lower parts of the earth, the Bible says, and he led captivity captive. He presented himself as the Messiah that they had been looking forward to. And that's talked about in Ephesians chapter 4, where he descended first into the lower parts of the earth, and then he ascended up on high. I believe what happened is those that were in Abraham's bosom were taken up to heaven at that point. And those that were in the place of torment were left there. The thief on the cross that asked God for mercy, asked Jesus for mercy, said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He went into the place of Abraham's bosom. The other thief went into to torment.
But consulting, Saul went to a witch to consult the familiar spirit.
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely right. And the Bible says Samuel came up, and that Samuel talked to Saul, and that Samuel said, the Lord has told him these, you know, is saying these things are going to happen to him. And the Bible clearly says here that it's Samuel. I think that's one of the reasons that the witch fell over, because this wasn't a fake. This wasn't what she expected. I think that for whatever reason, God allowed this at this particular time. That's why I say it's the only time that he allowed the spirit of Samuel to communicate with Saul. Saul was not supposed to do this, but God used this occasion. Now, I know that people do sometimes.
It says here that Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and
what does perceive mean? Perceive means you see somebody. I look across the table here, and I perceive my wife. I perceive that it's my wife and not somebody else, because it looks like her. And if she's was talking, it would sound like her. So you cannot use that to say that it's not Samuel. Perceived, okay, let's make that neutral. But verse 16 also says, then said Samuel. It didn't say, then said the one Saul perceived was Samuel. It doesn't say, then said the Samuel-like spirit. It says, then said Samuel in verse number 16. And, you know, so the Bible clearly says, then said Samuel. It says in verse 15 as well, and Samuel said to Saul. Now, it says in verse 14, Saul perceived that it was Samuel. So he saw what looked like Samuel. He heard what sounded like Samuel. And then verse 15 says, and Samuel said. Verse 16 says, then said Samuel. So, you know, if this was not Samuel, why does the Bible say, then said Samuel, and Samuel said to Saul? I mean, I see what you're trying to say with perceived, and if that's all there was, I would not argue strongly that it was Samuel. Well, but the Bible clearly says, then said Samuel.
But Saul bowed himself, and this spirit called Samuel didn't say, don't bow to me. Now, if it was really Samuel the prophet, he wouldn't have Saul bow to him.
Well, then we're at an impasse here then, because why did the Bible say, and Samuel said in verse 15? Why did the Bible say in verse 16, then said Samuel? It's very clear. I don't think we're going to get past this here tonight, obviously. And in verse number 20, it says, then Saul fell straightway all along the earth and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel. And so again, the narrative is such that it sounds like it's Samuel. Now, we could argue about this all night, and we're at an impasse. You can't use perceived, because perceived could mean that it was, or it could mean that it looked like him and it wasn't sure. So your basic argument then, if we eliminate that, if we both agree that we can't use verse 15 verse 14, when Saul perceived that it was Samuel's proof, if you say that because he bowed himself, that's the proof, but then how do you negate the fact that then said Samuel, and Samuel said to Saul, and because of the words of Samuel? So we're at an impasse there. I've got three passages there that clearly say that it's Samuel, and if it wasn't Samuel, I believe that the Bible would not be so emphatic to say, and Samuel said to Saul, then said Samuel, and because of the words of Samuel. He stooped himself to the ground and bowed himself, but in many cultures, people do bow. Hey, our president bowed before the king of Saudi Arabia when he first met him. You know, he bowed to him. Bowed to the prime minister, I believe it was, of Japan. People in Japan bow to each other all the time. You nod your head to somebody, you're effectively bowing before them. It doesn't say that he worshiped him. It does say he bowed himself, but he could be, signaling his subservience to Samuel as the prophet. And so again, we can't argue from that, but we're still stuck with, and Samuel said, then said Samuel, and because of the words of Samuel. So, I don't want to beat a dead horse here tonight. I think we'll have to disagree to disagree on this here this evening. I recognize that we have to disagree on such things sometimes, but, if I'm wrong on this and we get to heaven, I don't think it's going to change doctrine and change my position with Christ any, nor for our caller if he's right and I'm wrong, or if I'm right and he's wrong. The important thing is we do know that one must trust Christ as their Savior. And here in this dispensation on this side of the cross, when you die knowing Christ as your Savior, we don't go down into the pit, down into the Abraham's bosom. We go up into heaven to be with the Lord. Where the Lord is, that's where we go to be. And for the unsaved person, they go into the place of torment in Hades, in hell, and that's where they are until the day of judgment. So I guess we'll have to end it with that. Do appreciate the conversation and the question. I mean, we need to question these things. I've looked at that. I wondered about it, it says Samuel, so I'm going with that. If I'm wrong, well, we'll find out when we get to heaven. But appreciate that. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, I believe we have Jeremiah waiting patiently on the line for us. Welcome, Jeremiah.
Yes, you have an awesome program.
Thanks. Pastor, it's been a busy night tonight. We've been all over the place.
Yeah, the reason why I'm calling is I've heard a lot of speculation that Obama could be a Antichrist, and that the possibility that the Pope could be the false prophet.
Well, talking to a caller earlier this evening, I could make a case that the Pope might go into the role of the false prophet more so than the Antichrist himself. However, as far as Obama being the Antichrist, certainly I think that anyone who rejects Christ, they would be of the spirit of Antichrist, that's for sure. And you know, certainly we know that President Obama has an aversion to Christianity. Many places where he's appeared, he has had Christian symbols and symbolism covered up. Also, he wears a ring that's got an engraving basically on it that says, what is it? There's one God but Allah, I think, something to that effect. It's an Islamic saying. And then also, I remember there was a spat there for a while when he was quoting from the Declaration of Independence, where it says we hold that all these that we're granted certain unalienable rights by our Creator. And several times here in the Declaration where it says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable life rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I've watched this online. You can see the video of him watching the teleprompter and saying, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed. And then he kind of frowns and puckers up and pauses for a moment and then says, with certain unalienable rights. And he avoids saying that phrase, by their Creator. And now I'm not going to judge the man entirely, but we can judge with righteous judgment. The Bible says when somebody has an aversion to Christian symbology and also doesn't want to say by their Creator and wears a ring with a Muslim saying on it, and doesn't want to do the Pledge of Allegiance by saying one nation under God, but also leaves that out. You know, there seems to be an aversion to that. And the Bible talks about a spirit of Antichrist as opposed to, being Christ himself. The Antichrist. 2 John chapter 1, there's only one chapter there, verse 7 says, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an Antichrist. He would have the spirit of Antichrist if he does not know Christ as his Savior. I believe that his default religion is Islam, more so than Christianity. But you can go online and you can look up some of that stuff there, Jeremiah. Jeremiah, I got another caller calling in.
Thank you.
Hey, appreciate that, and thank you very much. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got John from Euclid calling in. And John, welcome. Got a couple minutes left here on the program.
Oh, yeah. Hello, Pastor.
Hi, welcome.
When you were talking for a minute about Samuel, that's very interesting. It's so important to read the Bible for very carefully and diligently.
Right.
I was often confused over that passage too. I said, I wonder if that was really a demon or was that, but then it clearly said it says Samuel.
Exactly. That was my point. If it wasn't Samuel, why did it clearly three times say that it was Samuel?
Yeah, so, that's really crucial to really read the Bible carefully.
Right. One of the things that I've always told people is you don't take the unclear passages to reinterpret clear passages. And in that, you can't take the unclear statements to reinterpret the very clear statements. You have to let the clearer parts interpret the less clear parts. And so I take those clear statements and use them to help understand the less clear.
Yeah, you know what I wanted to ask you too, though? Remember what Paul wrote about the man? He said he knew a man in Christ.
Right. He was talking about himself.
Yeah.
Hey, you got less than 10 seconds to go. Call us back again next week. God bless. Have a great week, everybody.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoll.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoll.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.